Morning. Today's daf Imsach Mitzadi Dala. We're on the top of Mitzadi Dala Mid Aleph. We are starting with the words Tana Rabbanan. Mishnah here in the ninth parak of Psachim has introduced us to the idea of Derech Rechoka, that if a person is far away from the Beis HaMikdash, so he's going to receive an exemption from bringing Pesach Rishon, and he'll have a makeup date and he'll bring it on Pesach Sheni. The Mishnah, let's start with the Torah. The Torah itself is not clear in terms of what Derech Rechoka is. The Torah just simply says that he was not in the Beis HaMikdash and he was at a distance, but that's all we get from the Torah Shebech Sav. Torah Shebech Peh is looking to supplement this information. What exactly do we mean when we say that the person is Bederech Rechoka? So the Mishnah brought us two opinions. Really three opinions, but three opinions which are two. Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that you have to be 15 mil, anywhere outside of 15 mil of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're anywhere outside that radius, drawing a circumference around Yerushalayim, around the Azara, and you're 15 mil anywhere outside of 15 mil, so you're Bederech Rechoka. How does Rabbi Akiva arrive at that number? So we saw in yesterday's Gemara, Ula is of the position. Rabbi Akiva didn't actually say 15 mil. It was Ula who explained Rabbi Akiva saying that it was 15 mil. And the reason why we know that is because it takes a total, it takes a person to walk in the course of a total day 40 mil, but that goes from all the way from dawn until nightfall. Take away 5 mil from the time that it takes to walk from dawn to sunrise. Take away another 5 mil, time it takes to walk from sunset to nightfall. And so you're left with 30 mil in the middle of the day, from sunrise to sunset. Take that and divide in half, because the Karban Pesach Shecht in the afternoon. So basically what we're looking at is that it takes a person to walk from midday until sunset, it takes 15 mil. As a result of that, so if you are outside of 15 mil and you're walking at a normal pace, so you're not going to make it into Yerushalayim by the end of the afternoon, by the time the sun sets, and therefore you're going to be exempt. That is Ula's explanation. Ula uses a couple of other Amoraim to arrive at that explanation, but that's Ula's explanation in terms of what it means to be Derech Rechoka. Good. The Gemara today is a really interesting daf, and I'll say it on the front end. My understanding of the Gemara today is going to be extraordinarily limited for a number of reasons. Later on, I'll go into more detail in terms of why it is my understanding of the Gemara is going to be very limited. It's always limited, but today, especially, it's going to be very limited. We'll go over that a little bit later on this morning. Anyway, that's what we've been discussing in the Mishnah. As long as we went over the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, so quickly we'll go over the sheet of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar is a really fascinating sheet. What does it mean, Derech Rechoka? You're one step outside the Azara. Sorry, you're one step outside of, you know, I was right. You're one step outside the Azara. So your foot outside the Azara, you're Derech Rechoka. Now that's amazing. In other words, you just take one step, you're in the Azara, but nevertheless, if you're physically outside of the Azara during the afternoon, so now you're in this exemption category of Derech Rechoka, and you don't have to bring Karban Pesach, you could bring Pesach Sheni. Okay, it's a rather amazing shita, and we'll talk about this at the end of today's daf. Rabbi Yossi is in full agreement with this shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yossi actually sees it in the pasuk itself. There's a dot over the hay when it says Derech Rechoka. That dot over a hay is there to minimize it. It de-emphasizes how far away you are, even a foot outside the Azara. Good. That is what we covered up until now. Tzadi Dala Amud Aleph. The Gemara starts off with a really straightforward question. Tana Rabbanan. Hayu Omeid Chutz Lemodi'im V'yacholikanus Besusim Uvepradim. So Yachli Echayev. So here's what I might have thought. We're going to entertain the idea that, look, you're outside of 15 mil. You're 20 mil outside of Yerushalayim, but it happens to be right now that you got an exceptionally fast horse, or you know you have a fast means of transportation. So now, in terms of distance, so you're far away, but in terms of time, so you're not that far away. So and you can make it into Yerushalayim before sunset. So yachol yehichayv. I might have thought that you should be chayv under those circumstances, and you're going to have to bring the Karban Pesach. So tam lamar v'derech lo hayam. So the Gemara says that over here, distance is a function of distance, not a function of time. Meaning the exemption of Derech Rechoka, we're looking at the variable of distance, not the variable of time. And so over here, once we establish the distance, that's it. And even though you can have a means of getting there quicker, Nevertheless, you still are going to be in this exemption. So let's say you're in Yerushalayim and traffic is terrible, and I'm not going to make it into the Azara by the end of the afternoon. So I might have thought, okay, I'm exempt, meaning, look, the Torah expects me to be in the Azara in the afternoon of Pesach, but right now I can't make it. The traffic is terrible. So I might have thought, therefore, I would carry that exemption. So I might have thought that I'd not be obligated. So over here, no, he doesn't fall under the exemption. Again, once we establish that the entire exemption is predicated on distance, so over here you're within 15 mil. That's it. Either was traffic. Traffic is not a good excuse. By the way, I say traffic. That's just my modern vision of what's going on over here. Rashi, quite frankly, doesn't say that. Rashi over here describes it as who aya mevi banov beso aleim. Right? He had a lot of family with him. And when you have a lot of family and you have a lot of possessions, you're just slower. Right? The example I think about is Yaakov. When Esav says to Yaakov after they make up, let's walk together. And Yaakov says, look, I got a lot going on over here. I got a lot of wives, a lot of kids, a lot of possessions. I'm just going to be slow. So the Gemara says over here, same. That's the way Rashi understands it over here. He's just going to be slow. And again, the point is that as long as you're 15 mil within the Beis HaMikdash, so you're not going to be able to fall under this exemption. You're going to be obligated. You're slow. Okay, you have to take that into consideration. Okay, Amar Rava. Okay, the Gemara over here now is going to go large. We are discussing now, we're discussing distances and how long it takes to walk certain distances. And so the Gemara here is going to give us a look of the world. Okay, let's start with the Gemara and then I'll go back and I'll apologize for my limited knowledge. Amar Rav Shisa Alpe Parse Havi Amma. So, the world is, 6,000 parsas. As we pointed out yesterday, a parsa is equal to 4 mil. So 6,000 parsecs is equivalent to 24,000 mil. Okay, so 24,000 kilometers is the distance of, now the way Rashi understands it over here is that we're talking about the inhabited earth. Right? Shisa alpe parsi ave ama Rashi hekav hilocha chama besocha chalal mimizrach lamarev. So Rashi describes over here that basically when you go from sunrise to sunset and you're looking at the inhabited earth, so it's 24,000 mil. That's Rava's assertion. So Chadagamar v'Chadasvar. So Rava says, look, it's predicated on two things. One, I have a tradition. It's that simple. Meaning this is a tradition that we have. And the other thing is that there's a svar. I can also make an argument as to how this is so. Now, at this point in time, I'll just pause for a moment. I'll save some of the more obvious points, which is, Chachmei Hagamara. Did they know the earth was round or did they believe the earth was flat? So, one of those questions which I'm not sure if you're gonna have definitive proof one way or another, right? The earth being round, so it seems like a more modern convention, but the truth of the matter is, even in the classics, you're gonna get not only Chachmei Hagemara, but you're also gonna get you're gonna see some of the more classic thinkers of the ancient time saying that the earth is round. So the truth of the matter is that. It'd be nice if they saw the earth the way we saw the earth. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, they may not have seen the earth the way we did. And that's fine. Meaning, we have a more global view. And I say that here literally. We have a more global view of the earth. And it's possible they didn't see it the same way we did. It's certainly possible. But again, not really relevant or important in terms of understanding the Gemara. So the Gemara over here is talking about the inhabited lands, and the Gemara is talking about the total area. Now the Gemara over here isn't really describing it in terms of an area. The Gemara is talking in terms of linear measurement, but yeah, that part I do understand because the Gemara is really looking at the revolution of the sun, and basically what we're looking at is how far does the sun traverse when going from the east to the west. That's really what the Gemara is trying to obtain. So that is a linear measurement. So we're going to be discussing it from a linear perspective, not really a two-dimensional plane. Anyway, so the Gemara has a tradition that's brought to us by Rava that's 24,000 mil. Now, he says it's a Gemara. It's both a tradition and also Tzvar, and also you could say that you could put an argument together. What's the argument? So Savalaki Adam Rabba Barbachanam Rav Yochanan Kama Mahalach Adam Beinoni Beyom. So we're going to go back to a statement of Rav Yochanan, a statement that we saw in yesterday's daf, but it's going to segue into our discussion. A regular person walks, 10 parsa over the course of the day. Again, 10 parsa is equivalent to 40 mil. So yud parsa is, me'alosha shecha ve'enetz l'chama hei milen, mishkiya t'chama etzitz l'kochav m'chama ishi milen, nimsa ovi av shavrakiya echad mishisha b'yom. So the Gemara says that now, we also are going to be saying that of those four, of the 40 mil that he's walking, five are from dawn to sunrise, and another five is from sunset to nightfall. And so it turns out now that the Ovi of Shavrakia, the thickness of the heavens, is Echa Mishisha B'yom. It's going to be a six. Meaning basically what we're going to do is that we're going to take the total amount of time that it takes the sun to travel from sunrise to sunset, which is 30. We're going to put, that's the denominator. We're going to put that five. That's the amount of time that it takes for the sun to go through the thickness of the heaven. So 5 over 30, 5 is now going to be our numerator. So the fraction is 5 over 30. 5 over 30 is going to be equivalent to 1 over 6. So which means to say that we're looking at a ratio of 1,000 to 6,000. Meaning 1,000 mil is going to be the thickness of the firmament. And 6,000 is going to be now the total distance of the inhabited earth from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. Okay, good. Math works out beautifully. Over here, in terms of ratio aspects. One thing I can say with a level of confidence, and that is, how do they view the heavens? So again, their view of the world doesn't exactly match our view of the world, but their view of the world is that basically what you have is that the heavens was basically a dome, right? It was like a horseshoe dome. And not only did you have one layer of this dome, you actually had a total of seven layers of this dome. And again, in ways that I cannot properly articulate or present. So let's say, for example, the sun, the earth, I'm sorry, the sun, the moon, the stars. So they were affixed to the first dome. The kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the seventh, in the seventh rakia. Okay. Again, ideas and concepts where I can't even scratch the surface. I don't fully understand it. But to a certain degree, though, I can articulate it. I can say what it is. But that's about it. So over here, what the Gemara's understanding is that what happens is that the sun now is going through this first dome. This first dome, how thick is it? This first dome of the Rekia? So it is 1,000. It's 1,000 mil. How do I know that? Because we're measuring it in terms of the time it takes. Meaning, look, when the sun's setting. So the way they viewed it is that the sun is going through this dome. How long does it take? Well, we know how long it takes because as it's going through this dome. So although now the sun itself cannot be seen, but still the sun, there's light, the sun is radiating and that light is going to be broadcast from sunset until nightfall. How long does that take? Well, again, according to the tradition we just learned together, based on the statement of Rav Yochanan, it takes 5 mil. Well, if it takes 30 mil for the sun to traverse from sunrise to sunset, and it takes 5 mil for it to go. So now basically what we could do is we could look at the ratio of how thick this firmament is, in relation to how long the inhabited earth is. And we just went through the ratio is 5 to 30, which is equivalent to 1 to 6, which means that it's 1,000 mil for it to go through the rakia. So that means that the earth itself is 6,000 from end to end, from east to west. Good. That's the argument that Rav is making. Meisvei. Now, what the Gemara is going to do basically is deconstruct this argument. Meaning, in terms of the Gemara, in terms of the tradition that he received, fine, it's a tradition. But in terms of the argument that just presented, so the Gemara is going to deconstruct it, and the Gemara is going to spend a number of different ways deconstructing it. Meisvei. And here's our first deconstruction. It's based on a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ovi of Shavar Ki Achan Me'asar Abayom. So here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says that the thickness of this of the first dome is going to be a tenth of the day. So already, it's already done. Meaning this Braisa over here introduces Rabbi Yehuda, where his ratio is not 1 to 6, but rather 1 to 10. So the truth of the matter is that Rav is going to have a really difficult time defending his position when the Braisa clearly demonstrates it's 1 to 10. Now, so how long does it take for a person to walk over the course of the day? So it's 10 parsos. Now, from alos shachar to from dawn to sunrise, it's 4 mil. And then from sunset to nightfall is 4 mil. And it turns out now that the thickness of the rakia is going to be a tenth of the day. Now, the numbers over here in the Braisa, the way it's reported to us, so it gets a little bit fuzzy. Because the Braisa just informed us that the total traversing is 40 mil from dawn to nightfall. And now it's 4. In other words, not like Rava reported, not like Rav Yochanan reported that was 5. It's 4 to go from dawn to sunrise. It's also another 4 to go from sunset to nightfall. Now what comes out over there is that that's a total of 8. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to deduct that 8 from the 40. So that's 32. So it's 1 over 32. Now 1 over 32 is an eighth, not a tenth. What you'll have to say over here, the way we have it presented in our Gemara, is that even though it's true, it's an eighth, but the Braisa that we just learned together is taking 4 and putting it over the total, meaning 4 over 40, not 4 over 32, and that gets us to a tenth. Okay. Before we go on in the Gemara, there really is a couple of points. Let's do like this. I'm sorry. Let's finish the Gemara's point and then we'll come back and then we'll fill in a lot of details. So Tiyufta de Rava, Tiyufta de Ula Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, look, this is a clear refutation of the position Rava. Rava who told us that it takes 5 mil to go from dawn to sunrise and then another 5 mil to go from sunset to nightfall. So over here, the Braisa we just said 4. And also the ratio is off, meaning we just learned the ratio being a tenth, right? We could have argued an eighth, but an eighth or a tenth, whatever the case is, it's not a sixth that Rava presented. So this already is difficult for Rava, and it's also difficult for Ula. Which Ula? So Ula from yesterday's daf. So Ula from yesterday's daf talked also about this idea that it takes 5 mil to go from sunset to nightfall. And this is also going to be a challenge on Ula's position as well. And Lema Tehavit Yufta de Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara says, now, are we also refuting Rav Yochanan's position? It wasn't just Rava's today's daf. It wasn't just Ula of yesterday's daf. It was also Rav Yochanan of both yesterday and today. Right? Rav Yochanan taught us, this idea that a person walks 10 parsos over the course of the day, and then from Netzachama until, from dawn to Netzachama is 5, and from Shkiasachama to Tzitz is going to be 5. So presumably also we knocked out Rav Yochanan as well. So Amalachan, Abiyamamahu da Amre. So Rav Yochanan says, no, not correct. Right, what I'm describing over here is a day, meaning I'm in agreement with the Braisa. As far as the Chachamim were concerned, where they say that a person walks 5 mil, no, I don't agree with that. Meaning I'm in line with the Braisa. It's 4 mil of distance that a person travels from dawn to sunrise, and another 4 from sunset to nightfall. I agree with the Braisa. The fact that people walk 5 is simply because people start earlier, meaning people start on the journey before dawn, a little bit before dawn, and people keep walking a little bit after nightfall. That's how you get to the total number of 5. But in terms of the actual description of the day, no, I agree with the Braisa. Okay, fine. So Rav Yochanan's position is not necessarily refuted. And Lema Tavit Yufta de Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara says, well, why? Maybe the Braisa over here is against the Shita of Rabbi Chanina. So, and Rabbi Chanina was from yesterday's daf. Rabbi Chanina was the one who argued that it's 5 mil that a person walks from sunset to nightfall, and another 5 from dawn until sunrise. And he knew that because of the Malachim. When leaving Sodom together with Lot, so they traveled to Bo'acha, they traveled to Tzoara, and the total distance that covered from dawn to sunrise is going to be a total of 5 mil. That was what Rabbi Chanina taught us. So the Gemara says, so that seemingly is going against Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, no, lo vayitzu shani. The Gemara says, no, they were running. Meaning, Sodom was being destroyed. They weren't walking casually from Sodom to Tzoara, but rather what they were doing is that they were running, quicker pace. And that's why they were able to cover 5 mil, but it would take a person at a normal pace to go 4 mil. Okay, Icon. Good. That is a, that's the Brisa. Now the Brisa certainly knocked out the position of Rav already and the position of Ula, and the Gemara did successfully defend Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Okay, a couple of points over here to make from this entire discussion. From the Brisa, what it sounds very clear is that the total time that it takes to walk within a day is subject to a debate. Meaning the way Rav Yochanan reported it in yesterday's daf and today's daf as well, is that it takes a person to go from sunrise to sunset, a person can cover 30 mil. Rabbi Yehuda, as Rashi understood it, right? Rashi can be found at Dibra Maskal Tashma. So Rabbi Yehuda, as Rashi understands it, says that a person can walk from sunrise to sunset 32 mil. And there's another way to understand Rabbi Yehuda, is that, and the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, is a very strong proponent of this, is that the way that when in the Brisa, when Rabbi Yehuda was describing 40 mil, that actually the number 40 was going only from sunrise to sunset, not including the time it takes to walk from dawn to sunrise, nor including the time that it takes to walk from sunset to nightfall. So over here now, basically we can boil it down to three opinions of how long does it take for a person to walk in the course of a day, either 30 mil, 32 mil, or 40 mil. Now, why is that important? Because then it's going to tell us how long a mil is. Meaning, let's assume that we're talking about an equal day. We're looking at an equinox, where it's a 12-hour day. So you take a 12-hour day, and now the math is really simple. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, what you're going to do is you're going to take your 12-hour day. Let's convert that into minutes. 720 minutes. And you're going to divide that by 30 mil. That means, how much is a mil? A mil is going to be 24 minutes, according to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda is presented by Rashi. So it's the same day of 720 minutes. Divide that by 32 mil. And that gives you 22 and a half. Every mil is going to be 22 and a half minutes. And then according to Rav Yehuda, as understood by the Vilna Gaon, that 40 mil is the entire day. So then you're going to take 720 minutes and you divide that by 40 mil. And that means that it's going to be 18 minutes per mil. So simple question with not one answer, right? How many minutes is the walking of 1 mil? So right now, the way we just presented it, so your range of positions are going to be anywhere between 18 to 22 and a half to 24 minutes. So every time now you hear, well, you hear the Gemara talk in terms of time as a function of distance, and the Gemara says, like, let's say, for example, right, earlier in this Masechta, we don't even have to go to another Masechta. Earlier in this Masechta, we said that when dough is left unworked, unkneaded for a mil, so then it's going to start rising. Well, how long is a mil? So now, based on what we just learned together in our Gemara, that number could range in time in terms of anywhere between 18 minutes to 24 minutes. Okay. Generally speaking, I'm sure you've heard that 18 minutes, right? That's the that's what you've heard. And it's true. In other words, 18 minutes is within the range. It's obviously an extreme, but 18 minutes is just it's a stringent way to look at it. Meaning when we're talking about matzah and rising, so obviously we want to be machmir. We want to be as cautious as possible in order for there not to be chametz. So therefore, we're going to take the smaller number. We're going to take 18 minutes. Okay. So you understand that that's how we arrive at these numbers. Okay. Anyway, that's just a general point that comes out from this Gemara. The large discussion, which I'm not going to discuss in any kind of length. All right. I already see the time. The large discussion to be had is as follows. The Gemara has just taught us very matter of fact, very candidly, that it takes 4 mil. Now remember, Rava said 5, but it takes 4 mil for a person to walk from sunset until nightfall, which would give one the impression, that nightfall does not occur until 4 mil after sunset, meaning so sunset, and you still have another 4 mil. Now let's just call it 18 minutes. I know there's a range. I know I just got done saying it's a range, but let's say it's 18 minutes. So 4 times 18, so that's 72. So right now, the Gemara has just taught us that it's 72 minutes after the sun sets until we get to nightfall. Good. That's what our Gemara says. And our, not only does the Gemara not have any pushback on this point, if you asked Rava, Rava would tell you that it's 5 mil, right? 18 times 5, it's 90 minutes. Okay, so so what's the problem? The problem is the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Daled, so talks about Bein HaShemashos, and the Gemara and Shabbos says that Bein HaShemashos is either 2/3 or 3/4 of 1 mil. So let's say 3/4. So it's 13 and a half minutes. So what kind of discrepancy are we talking about? Meaning the Gemara in Shabbos says that Bein HaShemashos period. Now there, it's a range of positions over there as well. And that's why this discussion is a lot longer than what I'm making it. But if you look over there at the Gemara in Shabbos, it's none other than Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda of our Gemara over here. Rabbi Yehuda says that Bein HaShemashos is 13 and a half minutes. So that's meaning after the sun sets, presumably what the Gemara means over there, you got to see the Gemara inside, but the Gemara over there says that after the sun sets, it's a 13 and a half minute period in which after that point in time, it's nightfall. So is nightfall 72 minutes after sun setting? That's what our Gemara says over here. Or is nightfall going to be 13 and a half minutes after sun setting? That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. So what we have over here is a skira between two Gemaras. So there is a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. You'll see Tosfos over here, and you'll see Tosfos over there in Shabbos. Actually, Tosfos discusses this point in a number of locations, but really the stira is between our Gemara over here in Psachim and the Gemara in Shabbos. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos gives us the short version of this discussion, which is great because it's perfect for Daf Yomi. Tosfos over here writes, Kashla Rabbeinu Tam, second Tosfos on our Amud. De Besof Bamem Adlikin Amr Ezu Ben Hashmashos Misha Tishka Chama Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Braisa, one of a number of positions, has Rabbi Yehuda saying that as long as the sun is setting, so as long as the Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, right, the eastern horizon is red, meaning obviously the sun's setting in the west, but it's casting its radiance onto the eastern horizon, and as long as it's still red, so it's still going to be you're during your Bein HaShemashos period. And over there, the Gemara says that according to Rav Yehuda, the entire duration of the Bein HaShemashos period is going to be 2/3 of a mil. Now, I told you 3/4. Okay, it happens to be within the Shita of Rav Yehuda over there in the Gemara Shabbos. There is also a range of positions. One says 2/3, the other says 3/4. Whichever one it is, that is a far cry from the 4 mil that we're describing over here. V'hachakam Rav Yehuda gufei 4 mil, and meanwhile, over in Agamar Rav Yehuda says that 4 mil, so that's really difficult. V'yeshlamar, so here, so Tosos answers, this is Rabbeinu Tam's answer. V'yeshlamar d'hachakam ha-mitzchil shkiyas nahayinu misha shemitzchil ha-sacham ha-likanis bo v'yerakiyah ad alayla ha-vidalamil and v'hasim kamar misof shkiyah. So Rabbeinu Tam invokes an idea that there really are two shkiyas. Shkiya number one is where the sun heads into the rakia, right? Like I described earlier this morning. And it's at that point in time that you have now entered shkiya number one. That's the first sunset. That's visible sunset, according to Rabbeinu Tam. But the day's not over, not even close. Meaning, and the Bein HaShemashos period has not even begun. So when is the Bein HaShemashos period going to begin? So something like 55 minutes later. Meaning, so almost a full hour after we've experienced visible sunset. So now what we're talking about is the second sunset. Meaning this is now where the Bein HaShemashos period is just beginning. And now go another approximately 13 minutes. And now at the end of that time, so now what we have experienced is nightfall. So that is Rabbeinu Tam's, truly, when you compare the Gemara, and I'm not even highlighting the subtle differences in language that the Gemara over here uses and the Gemara over there uses. But it's a really brilliant way to explain and to coordinate and to synthesize both Gemaras. So that means that according to Rabbeinu Tam, now he's saying a lot. He's saying that even after the sun sets visibly, the day's not over, and the day halachically is not over for nearly another hour. Then, at about minute number 56, now we enter into this Bein HaShemashos period, Safek Yom, Safek Laila, and then 13 minutes later, so 72 minutes after we've seen the sunset, after visible sunset, so then we're experiencing nightfall. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, right? It's a critical understanding in terms of our Gemara and the Gemara in Shabbos. Now, it's not the only understanding of how to synthesize the two Gemaras. In fact, many are of the position Vilna Gaon, most notably, second time recording the Gaon this morning, Vilna Gaon most notably says that our Gemara over here doesn't need to be synthesized with the Gemara over there in Shabbos. The Gemara over there in Shabbos is telling us the halacha, which is that after the sun sets, so you go 3/4 of a mil, and that's it. And then after that, it's nightfall. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. Our Gemara over here, as will become evident from the balance of the Gemara today, our Gemara over here is just really dealing more with Agadata. And it's not giving us a halachic discussion. It's a little bit difficult to see it right now because our Gemara is using this in the context of Derech Rechoka, but nevertheless, it will become evident from the balance of the Gemara today that our Gemara is more agadic than it is halachic. And so therefore, you don't need to coordinate the two Gemaras together. That's the Vilna Gaon's approach. And obviously, what comes out from all this are major differences in terms of when is the day come to a conclusion. Meaning, when do we reach the halachic definition of nightfall? So that means to say that according to Rabbi Natam, it's not going to be until 72 minutes after sunset, after visible sunset. So Rabbi Natam, so he would keep Shabbos, right, 72 minutes after sunset. And again, by the way, all we're doing over here is scratching the surface, because all we're doing is describing it at a time of the equinox, meaning what happens when the day is longer, what happens when the day is shorter. There obviously is a lot more to take into consideration, but right now we did just scratch the surface. Good. We are going to go back to the Gemara. In terms of all the halachic ramifications that come off from all this, obviously extraordinarily important, but we have a daf to finish. So we're going to go on. Tashma. So we're back in the Gemara now, and we are about 2/3 of the way down. And again, the Gemara now is deconstructing the sheet of Rava. Rava says that inhabited earth is a total of 24,000 mil, the 6,000 parsa, and the Gemara already deconstructed it once, but the Gemara now is going to do a number of more rounds of deconstruction. Tashma, the Gemara says, consider the following Mitzrayim, Haya Arba Meo Parsa, Arba Meo Parsa. So Mitzrayim is 400 parsa by 400 parsa, Mitzrayim Echa Mishishim Bekush. And Mitzrayim is just the 60th of Kush. V'kush echem mishishim ba'olam. And Kush is just a 60th of the world. V'olam echem mishishim began. And the world is just the 60th of Gan. V'gan echem mishishim be'eden. And the Gan is just the 60th of Eden. V'edem echem mishishim be'gehenim. And Eden is just the 60th of Gehenim. Nimsa kol olam kula kikisu kedir le'gehenim. Now, how big is the world relative to Gehenim? So the world itself is just a lid of a cover to the pot, that which is Gehenim. Okay. Now, here, the one time today I didn't do the math. Anyway, but hopefully you figured out already that the length of the world, if we're going to take these numbers and just keep multiplying 60, 60, 60, you're going to get to a number that is far in excess of what Rava said. Rava said that the total distance of the inhabited earth is 6,000 parsa, and here we're dealing with a number that is exceedingly larger than that. So Tiyufta, that's another deconstruction of Rava's position. We're not done yet. Tashma, the Gemara goes on. Gemara really piles on. Tan de Be'aliyah, Rabbi Nelson, Amar Kol Yishuv Kulo Tachas Kol Chavechad Yoshev. The entire populated earth is under one store Teda. Sheri Adam Nosin Eino Beko Chavechad Olech LeMizrach Omei Kenegdo LaAr Baruchas HaOlam Omei Kenegdo. The inhabited earth is under one star. You could see that star fixed in its location in the sky from even if you travel from one end to the other end. Now, right, obviously over here, this is where, again, another example where my understanding of the Gemara today is extraordinarily limited, because over here you're looking at the star, but obviously from different angles and from different vantage points. So to make the argument that the entire inhabited earth is situated under one star, so it goes back to the Gemara is better understood over here agadically than halachically. But anyway, Mechlal dechol yishuv kulo tachas kochav echad, Yoshe, the entire inhabited earth is under one kochav. So Tiyufta, so the Gemara says once again, serves as a refutation. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, another refutation. So Egla B'Tzafo, so here we're talking about the various constellations. Okay, so here, I know a little bit, but that's about it. So we're talking about the various constellations. So we have Taurus up in the north, and we have Akrav, we have Scorpio down in the south, Bedarim. And in the, even though the constellations are going to be revolving around the earth, but they're always going to be in certain fixed positions, meaning that the Taurus constellation is always going to be in the north, and the Scorpio constellation is always going to be in the south. Inhabited Earth is between these two constellations. Now, as far as the sun is going to be directly over the populated Earth only for 1 hour from the day, midday. Meaning, you go to the fifth hour of the day, sun's in the east. To the east of the inhabited earth, then you go to the seventh hour of the day, sun's in the west, on the front, right off to the side of the inhabited earth. It's only from the hours of 11:30 to 12:30 where the sun's overhead. So Tiyufta, and the Gemara says what comes out over here is that it is a much larger area than what's described by Rava. Again, another refutation of Rava. Tashma, Gemara does this now. This is already a fifth refutation. We are now in the bottom of the Amud. Tashma da Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Machuva he shifto baskol osa Rasha b'shasha Amar. What did the Baskol respond to the Rasha? The Rasha over here being Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Alei al bamasei av adama leelyon. So Nebuchadnezzar now is going to try to do battle with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to go up to heaven. I'm going to fight a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Yatsa Baskol ve'amra. So out comes the Baskol and says, Rasha, ben beno shel Nimrod ha-Rasha. So you are a grandson to Nimrod. Rasha over here says not biologically, but rather more like an archetype, right? Rashi over here says he's from Zera Nimrod, whatever. The point is that he's following in the footsteps of Nimrod. Shehemet is called Olam Kulo Alai B'Machuso. So, and Nimrod tried to stage a rebellion against me. You know how that one went. And the same thing is true over here. Nebuchadnezzar is also trying to wage a war against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, and here the Baskol continues. So, Kol Alam Kulo Alai B'Mach, I'm sorry, Shemir is Kol Alam Kulo Alai B'Machuso. Kamash Nosov Shal Adam, how long does a person live for? So, Shivim Shana V'im B'Gvurish Manim Shana. Okay, good, the Pasuk. 70 years, 80 years, Shinemar, Yimei Shino Seno B'Em Shivim Shana V'im B'Gvurish Manim Shana. So, Min Aretz Ad L'Rakia. So, how long does it take to walk from Aretz to Rakia? Meaning, if you could walk. Obviously, it's a vertical climb, and we have gravity, and okay. But if you could walk, what's the distance? So hamahalech chamesh meos shana. So it would take a person to walk 500 years. Va'oviyav shav rakia mahalech hey meos shana. Now the actual thickness of the rakia, that's another 500 year walk. Ubein rakia l'rakia mahalech hey meos shana. V'chein bein kol rakia v'rakia. Now, as I described earlier this morning, there are seven rakios, one on top of the other, right? A dome on top of a dome on top of a dome. And the distance being, each one of them being an additional 500 years. So, ach el sha'olterad al yarkasei bor. And as far as what's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar, so he's not even going to begin the ascent. In fact, just the opposite. He's going to descend. He's going to go down into the pit. So, but again, the numbers that are used over here are significantly larger than the one that was proposed by Rava. Rava was saying that the entire inhabited earth is a linear measurement of 6,000 parsa. And over here, we're giving measurements that are again, I didn't do the math, but you know, I got the point really early on. It's exceedingly larger than the way Rava describes it. So Rava says that inhabited earth is 6,000 parsa. And the Gemara on the Amud Aleph of today's daf and the Amud Beis totally deconstructs that viewpoint. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, for the balance of today's daf, I'm going to do it really quickly, and here's going to be just another wonderful example where my understanding is going to be really limited. And part of where I am significantly hampered in terms of an understanding of the Gemara is not only do I have to attempt to understand the Gemara, which is really difficult, but then when Rashi gives a commentary to the Gemara, Rashi obviously is dealing with an astronomy that was understood in his day and age, which obviously is much different than the way we view astronomy and the way orbits work and planets work and stars work. And so it's really difficult. It's really challenging. I'll say a pshat in the Gemara, but with the perfect understanding that whatever pshat I'm saying in the Gemara is extraordinarily limited in its nature. So let's go. Tanu Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Omrim Galgal Kavua Mazalos Chozrim. So the Chachmei Yisrael say that it's the Galgal that's Kavua, and the Mazalos are Chozrim, and the Mazalos are the ones that are in motion. Okay, here's the phenomena that the Gemara is looking at over here, and that is that if you look at the sun, and you look at a year, so what's going to do is that the sun is not going to revolve at a constant rate, at a constant orbit around the earth, but rather, it heads northbound, it heads southbound, and hence the seasons, right? And then there are going to be two times in the year where the sun is going to be hitting the equator. And then half the year it's going to be headbound, and it's going to head northbound of the equator, and the other half the year it's going to head southbound of the equator. And these are observable phenomena. But also another observable phenomena is that that's not true regarding the constellation, the stars in the sky. Meaning what happens is that the stars in the sky do not make that same orbit, that same rotation that the sun makes. The sun heads to the north of the constellation. The sun heads to the south of the constellation, right? Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. Wonderful. And so what the Gemara is trying to understand over here is what's stationary and what's in motion. Is the sun stationary? Is the constellation in motion? Or is it the opposite? So Chachmei Yisrael Omrim Gilgul Kavua Mazalos Chozrim V'Chachmei Umas Olam Omrim. And so according to Chachmei Yisrael, it's the sun that's fixed, and it's the constellations that are in motion. Chachmei Umas Olam say no. The Galgal Chozer Mazalos Kvuyim. It's the sun is the one that is dynamic, and it's the constellations that are fixed. Amar Rebbe Tshuva L'Divrayim. And Rebbe says Tshuva L'Divrayim. Olam Lamatzino Agla B'Dorim V'Akrav B'Tzafon. And he says, look, I'm looking at the constellations, and I notice that the Taurus, so that's always in the northern skies, and the Scorpio, that's always in the southern sky. If anything, what I think comes out over here is that the constellations really are fixed, which, by the way, is a little bit curious because Rebbe over here is defending Chachmei Umas Ha'olam and not Chachmei Yisrael. Okay, so Maskev L'Rav Acha Bar Yaakov V'Dilmake Butzina Derechaya Inam Kitzinor D'Dasha. So the Gemara says, well, look at these simple machines, right? Like a hinge on the door. So the hinge on the door, so what appears to be moving, in other words, from a different perspective, could just simply be stationary. Okay, in other words, when the door is moving, so if you're looking at it from the perspective of the hinge itself, the hinge is stationary. But if you're looking at it from the perspective of the door, the hinge is moving. Okay, so it could just simply be that we're over here, it's just a question of perspective. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim B'Yom Chama Malachas Lamata Min Arekia B'Laila Lamala Min Arekia V'Chachmei Umas Ha'olam Omrim B'Yom Chama Malachas Lamata Min Arekia U'V'Laila Lamata Min HaKarka. A question of where does the sun go to at night? Chachmei Yisrael say that the sun, after it goes through the Rekia, then what it does is it goes over the dome. And obviously it's occluded from our vision, but it goes over the dome. Chachmei Umas Ha'olam say no, that what the sun does is it goes underneath the ground. Okay, now I understand it's tempting over here to say they're having a debate whether or not the sun is revolving around the earth or just the opposite. I know it's tempting to say that, but again, I'll just go back to the Gemara over here is probably better suited to be understood on an agadic level and not a halachic level. Okay, Amar Rebbe v'nirin divrei midivreinu. Rebbe says, look, I think they're more right. Because look, during the daytime, the wellsprings are cold, and then at nighttime, the rosech, they're heated up. So how are they heated up? So if the sun is now under the earth, so now I understand how they're heated up. Okay, so again, arguments over here in terms of which is a better way to look at the earth. Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer Biyamos Chama Chama Malachas Begovish Rakia. Rabbi Nassan says that in the summertime, the sun is Begovish Rakia, is at the heights of the Rakia, Lefecha Kolam Kula Roseach, coming now in straight, not coming in at an angle, so that's why everything is really hot. Mayano Sonanim, and the wellsprings are going to be cool because the wellsprings are under the ground. B'yamosek Shamim, but during the winter, so Chama Malachas B'Shipula Rakia, the sun's at an angle. Okay, this is empirically visible. You know, right? This is something that anybody who is observant, can easily observe. Lefecha kolam kulatzonin. That's why the earth is cold, because now we are not hit at directly by the sun, but rather the sun's coming at an angle. O mayenos roschin. Now, the wellsprings are going to be hotter because over here, the sun is, again, the way they're viewing it, the sun is closer to the wellsprings. Atan rabbanu barba shvilim chamam aleches. The sun is basically operating in four different pathways. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, we're talking here about the spring. Ma'alechus baharim kedila fashos ashlagim. So here we're having now where the sun is making its northern pathway, and it's going to melt the snow on the mountaintops. Tamuz Ava Elul. So here we are in the summertime of the months of Tamuz Ava Elul. Ma'alechus biyushuv kedila fashos aperos. So the sun now is ripening the fruit. Tishrei marcheshem v'kislev. Now we're entering into the fall. Ma'alechus biyamim kedila yavish es anaharos. So there now it's going to be drying out the rivers. And Tevish Shvat Vadar, now the months of the winter months, Malachas ben Midbar Shalol Yavish as Zrayim. So the sun now dips out down into the desert so as not to dry out the all the crop that's growing. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mitzkufas, okay, now is a good time for me to just pause for a moment, take a small breath. Ad kan divrei Gemara regarding astronomy, Agadata, right, a blend of the two. Okay, admittedly, really difficult Gemara to grasp over here. Here I will say confidently, we didn't even scratch the surface of these Gemaras over here. These Gemaras are extraordinarily difficult to understand, even on the simplest levels. I provided some basic understanding of the Gemaras over here, but really inadequate, insufficient. Okay, enough with beating myself up, but that's the, but they are, they're just simply hard Gemaras. Okay, we are going back now to our Mishnah. And we're just going to finish up quickly the daf today. And a couple of points over here in terms of being b'derech rechoka. Right now we get to shift, transition into a halachic discussion. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Mitzkufas Afagav Demasi Ayol V'Larmin Leikum Ayol. So the Gemara just is amazed. It's amazed at the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. You're one step outside the Azara, and we don't say to him, hey, you know what, why don't you take a step forward? Meaning he's exempt. Or he has a bona fide legal exemption. You know, obviously, we can have a hashkafic discussion about, yeah, you obviously, you know, you want to go into the Azara, and you want to be obligated, but as far as the legalities are concerned, perfectly exempt. V'atayin, the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a braisa. Yehudi ha'rel shalom ma'al ha'nishkaris, divrei Rabbi Elazar. Now, you know, you have a Jew who's uncircumcised. And now, so what can he do? Can't he just shrug his shoulders and say, look, sorry, right, I don't have a bris milah. I guess I'm exempt. No. Rabbi Eliezer, and the emphasis over here on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that he's not going to be exempt. He's going to be obligated. He doesn't have a bris milah. He can't offer Karm Pesach. Yeah, the solution's really simple. I say this as if it's easy. Get a bris milah. Do the Karm Pesach. So now the Gemara over here is kind of bothered. Meaning if all you have to do is take a step forward and you're out of the category of Derech Rechoka, why don't you have to take a step forward? And meanwhile, by the bris milah, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't give him a pass, doesn't give him an exemption. You got to get a bris milah. But the Gemara's resolution is really simple. Amar Rabbi Derech Rechoka Latarvein Derech Rechoka Latameh. So, and hopefully this sounds familiar because we saw this in yesterday's daf. You can't compare the two categories of exemption. The category of the exemption of Derech Rechoka, by its very definition, is going to be a definition of being at a distance. The fact that we have given a perimeter and you're outside and all you have to do is just take one step forward, it doesn't matter. The exemption is Derech Rechoka, as opposed to this person over here who's an Arel, so he does not get the same kind of exemption. He needs to get a bris milah. He's going to be held liable if he doesn't get a bris milah. Rav Amar Tanaihi D'Tanya. Rav says, I can approach this a different manner and just said it's a machlokas tanayim. D'Tanya will enter the brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nemar Richuk Makom BePesach Menemar Richuk Makom BeMeiser. So we have a distance measured in terms of Karm Pesach, and we also have it in terms of Meiser. Malal and Chutz Achilaso Afkan Chutz Achilaso. Now, Meiser, as far as Meiser is concerned, so we're talking about Meiser Sheni that has to be eaten within Chomas Yerushalayim. So what does it mean that you're outside? Outside over here means outside Yerushalayim. Same thing as it relates to the Karm Pesach, outside Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Chutz Asiyah. So no, not outside Yerushalayim, but outside of where the Avodah is done, otherwise known as the Azara. So over here, what we have is multiple opinions within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So you see already that there's a discrepancy of what Rabbi Eliezer said. So the fact that Rabbi Eliezer said made another statement that also is discrepant, So the Gemara says that doesn't bother us because we clearly see that we don't have a clear Masorah of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says now, in terms of determination of Tmeim, meaning to make the determination that the Jewish people are Tame and can bring, offer the Karban Pesach in a state of Tama, so you need the majority of people who are eligible to bring Karban Pesach. And therefore, we're gonna look at the Tame people who are in the Azara. Now you talk about a twist, meaning, up until now, we talked about the majority, right? And we never put through this into the consideration. Here, the Gemara in Sadi Dal Amud Beis throws this into the consideration that the population that we're looking at specifically has to be Tamei people who are in the Azara. And I'll just ask under my breath, what are they doing in the Azara? They're Tamei. Anyway. So halacha acharov ha'amdim bazara keman ke Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda shamar mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Good. So that is in consistence with the position that we just recorded in the Brisa, specifically the second opinion, that of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who said name Rabbi Eliezer. It's the area where your chayv and karban pesach is going to be the azara. Okay. Just wrapping up now the daf today. Amalo Rabbi Yosef lefichach. Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Brisa, supplemental to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Aglila Omer Derech Shomea Ani Mahalach Shnaim Ushlosha Yamim Kishomer Uva Derech Lo Haya. The Torah, when phrasing this exemption of being Bederech, and the Torah says Uva Derech Lo Haya Magishem Iskufa Azara V'Lachutz Kari Derech, that any time that you're outside of the threshold of the Azara, so you're considered now at a distance, and therefore you are going to be exempt from having to bring Karban Pesach. That is the Shita of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef in our Mishnah was in line with the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Right? The Brisa doesn't say it the same way Rabbi Yosef said it in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, he's focusing on the dot and the hay. Over here, he's focusing on a textual proof of the Pasuk. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the daf today. And let's do a quick review. The first topic of discussion today, halachic, and that is that your Bederech Rechoka, according to Rabbi Kiva of our Mishnah, that's 15 mil. And if you're at a distance of 15 mil, the time that it takes to walk from midday until sunset, so then you qualify as Derech Rechoka, and therefore you're going to be exempt. You have the category of, you have this exemption of Derech Rechoka. Let's say you're 16 mil away, but you have a fast means of transportation. Are you still Bederech Rechoka? Right? That was the question. The Gemara's answer, very clear. You are still Bederech Rechoka. Derech Rechoka is a function of distance, not a function of time. Okay, that is that was point number one. Point number two, and the second point over here is more is observations made by Chachmei Yisrael. First, in terms of the total distance of the populated earth, which the sun is rising and setting over. So Rava says it's 6,000 parsecs, which is equivalent to 24,000 mil. Right, which again, if you want to put it in terms of what we how we measure a distance. You're talking somewhere around 24,000 kilometers, approximately. Just as a way of thinking about it. And on top of that, he said that the relationship between the earth and the thickness of the firmament, so that's going to be an aspect ratio of 1 to 6. Good. That was Rava. And then on Sadi Dalman Alf, what the Gemara did is it deconstructed Rava, meaning Rava is just simply not correct. And the Gemara had a number of different sources that showed us that Rava was not correct. Out of the discussion comes out a really important halachic topic in terms of when does sunset begin and when does nightfall and when is nightfall. And from a simple reading of our Gemara in today's daf, Psachim daf Sadi Dalid, what comes out is that the sun sets and 72 minutes later, 4 mil later, is going to be nightfall. That's a simple reading of our Gemara, and that has to be taken into account with the Gemara of Shabbos, Andaf Lamedale. And so we spent a little bit of time this morning going over the classic Shita Rabbeinu Tam, and then other ways of how to address the discrepancy between our Gemara and the Gemara in Shabbos. On the Amud Beis, more observations made by Chachmei Yisrael in terms of the sun in its relationship to the constellation, in terms of the sun in relationship to the earth. Again, the Gemara over here is probably better suited to be understood from a Nagadic standpoint, not a Halachic standpoint. But again, we barely scratched the surface of the Gemara. It's a really difficult Gemara today. Then the Gemara goes back to the Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara notes that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there are some discrepancies in terms of what Rabbi Eliezer says, in terms of where is the Makom Chiyuv of Karban Pesach. Is it the Azara? Is it the entirety of Yerushalayim, the interior of the walled city of Yerushalayim? Okay, the Gemara says basically, we don't have a clear viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, but we do have various viewpoints. And finally, the Shita Rav Yossi, which is an agreement to Rabbi Eliezer, at least the Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, and that is one step outside the Azara, and you are now B'derech Rechoka, and you're going to be exempt from Pesach Rishon.